I'm Sonia Morton Firth and you're watching The Sonia Morton Firth Show. Today, my guest is Neo Ross. At only 28, Neo is a successful international entrepreneur, investor and speaker. Neo has worked in 12 countries and helped hundreds of corporates achieve greater profits. In 2015, Neo was kidnapped. This was the brutal incident that changed his life. Beaten and dragged into the woods, he was left for dead. Despite suffering from post-traumatic stress, Neo turned his adversity around. He concentrated on mastering his emotions around shame and revenge. Today, he helps people dissolve their emotional baggage to enable them to experience their full potential. Neo, it's such a pleasure to have you sitting in my kitchen in Richmond. Thank you so much for being a guest on my show.
Very nice kitchen, by the way.
Yeah, do you like it?
Yes,
it's cool, isn't it? Neo, you've achieved such an amazing amount at such an early age. What do you attribute your success, drive and ambition to?
So there's many different things and many different components of that. And probably one of the biggest components that I've got one of the biggest challenges in my life since I was 8. And these challenges were rolling on. And
8 years old,
yes,
wow.
There were some family challenges where I needed to make my first decisions in life, how to live, what to do, and so on. So I believe the earlier the individual has challenges in life that actually teaches lessons, the more success you can achieve faster. So,
can you tell me a little more about your childhood? How was it growing up?
Okay. So as far as I remember, I started, you know, probably 2-3 years old, and I was watching in the sky and I was thinking, you know, what are we alone? What's our initial purpose of being here? And I was really inspired about, you know, these stars and skies, and I was questioning what's out there and what's our purpose in this planet as well. So as far as I remember, I had these questions from a very, very early age. What later happened, I was quite a curious child, and I was a little bit different than others. I was collecting bugs from a lake next to our
bugs.
Yeah,
oh, bugs. Oh, wow. What sort of bugs?
You wouldn't like to see them.
No, I'm not big on bugs.
They were different species, but what I did with them, I was catching bugs from a lake and putting in jars, and I was analyzing their behavior because I was putting different bugs, and I was seeing, like, what are they doing together? Someone was killing, someone, you know, making love, and, you know, I was very fascinated about that.
And how old were you when you were doing
it? 4 or 5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was a little bit different than other children. So as a result, after 12 grades, I probably skipped about 80% of the lessons.
Wow, yeah, okay. You were a rebel.
Yeah, I was a rebel. It's not a very inspirational story for young children, but maybe it's an inspirational story for schools.
Yes,
to
absolutely.
Make the programs more engaging and not teaching that boring stuff that nobody's going to be using it. But I had that ability to learn myself, and I had a curiosity and responsibility and accountability in front of my parents to learn myself. So the grade that I finished, the 12th, the average mark from the exams that I've got was 9.5 out of 10, because I learned everything myself.
So you were self-taught, basically.
Yeah, I self-taught myself. And because of that rebellious attitude in school, my teachers preferred not to have me at lessons, so I'm not, you know, disturbing the lesson. So they gave me an opportunity to learn myself everything and come in an exam, basically, and, you know, do, like, the best. So they gave me the chance to be who I am and be authentic.
And what happened after school? So what did you go on and do straight after school?
And when I was 16, I didn't know what I want to do completely. So I thought, okay, if I will find a way how to count cash, I'm going to be rich. So I got into finance and economics.
Okay, okay.
As a bachelor's degree, and I graduated it. And after first year of study, I realized that's a gigantic, engaging university program, which is very dry, not experienced. And because I had a lot of experience in my early childhood in touching, you know, the real stuff. So my bachelor was about that.
And so you did your degree and you went on to form your own business at that
time? So that was an interesting development path. When I was 23, I met my first mentor in my university. And, you know, there's some very unexpected thing, but as you know, there's no unexpectancies and coincidence happening. There's probably should have happened the way it happened.
So sorry, say that again. There's no coincidences.
There. Yeah,
yeah, I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
things happen for a reason.
Some sort of design that puts, you know, people and that put me here on the show and probably to hear for your audience what I have to tell. Because there's probably the right time for them to hear as well. Mm. So it was funny that in the... so for the bachelor thesis, you need to have a manager, someone, a supervisor that's going to be, you know, taking care of what you do actually. Yeah, yeah. So the supervisor that was assigned to my bachelor thesis left the university and I needed to pick another one. And I just opened a list of available supervisors and I took a pen, I used, you know, and I just hit by chance. At that time was very... very intelligent professor. So he challenged me on the level that I've never been challenged. It was like first time ever, and I'm by Zodiac Aries, so I need to go and find out and, you know, win against that challenger always. Yeah. So that was like, for me, first experience, and he knew what he's doing because he consciously did it, intentionally did it, because he saw potential and he knew the way how to activate it. Mm. And because of that experience, I was 24 years old and I was working as a senior key account manager in one of the biggest power distribution company. And I was working with 400 biggest corporate clients in entire territory together with my team. And by the end of the year, I already organized 11 nationwide conferences on energy efficiency where I spoke and my team spoke in front of thousands of CEOs and technical directors. So I kind of had a little bit of...
So you were pretty successful at a very early age again, and that was, you were only 24 at that age.
Yeah, so, but that's because my professor, he influenced me a little bit to watching things a little bit differently than I watched before, to neutralize pride, neutralize arrogance, and just go and achieve and succeed. So since the moment I decided to commit my life path to discover what's the hidden secret key to activate human potential, I was so inspired to continue my studies and self-study that I went online on different platforms that at that time offered free online learning courses like Coursera and edX. And instead of going to a master's degree, I collected my own skill set, what I needed to learn in the current company that I was working for. And I went to 17 different universities through 3 years and I start learning different aspects from Harvard, MIT, Stanford, University of Washington, and so on. And I collected these skills. Even though I had a great upgrade for my own professional experience, I never found one single answer. In any university in the world I explored so far, I haven't seen and I haven't find answer how to activate human potential. What is that secret key? And then life brought me one of the greatest challenges in 2015. And at that time I was working as a key account manager. I was doing a lot of successful thing, but it was a lot of bureaucracy because that was a government owned company. And you've been in corporates, you know what that mean, you know, constantly come and do the same boring stuff and
day in, day out, take your check home at the end of the month and you're still going.
Three years for someone was, you know, love nature and being, you know, the human. So it was a really burning out experience and I got burnout. And at that time I was looking for new opportunities, but that opportunity came first before I basically discovered that. Since at that time I gave up for that pride and arrogance thing. I was kind of a little bit, you know, 24 years doing pretty successful things, it's just normal and natural to elevate yourself a little bit above equilibrium. And when that happens, then, you know, you attract humbling and balancing circumstances. So one of my old friends noticed that I'm pretty successful, I shine like a golden coin and so on, and he offered me a business opportunity. And that business opportunity sounded like a million overnight. It was really inspiring and amazing. They had all the papers. They had all the agreements. We met several times. And I arrived to meet them in 2015, July 13th. Mm-hmm. And I didn't expect what happened. They took me out of the car. They beat me. They put me in a different car. They put a jacket on my head. And they kidnapped me for 2 hours.
You kidnapped me?
Yes. Okay. Physically. There were 6 people involved in that experience. And they physically tortured me for 2 hours, at least 50 times with a plastic motorcycle glove in my head. I asked them even not to hit me because I had a job interview in 1 week. So they gave me a little bit more.
And how were you feeling when this was all happening?
You know, the feeling, you know, as Albert Einstein said, time can even either expand or contract. So when you spend quality time with someone that you love, 1 hour feels like 1 minute. It just blows.
It just goes really quickly. When you're having a great time, it's like you want to hold on to it because the time just goes. Yeah.
But the opposite is when you wait for a train or bus.
Oh yeah.
It's 1 minute logs forever. Yeah. So imagine 2 hours for me in that car, constrained in darkness, getting beaten, threatened to stab with a knife, break my knees with a hammer, psychologically offended, minimized, and so on. And 2 hours of that, it felt for me like ages. Like, I don't know. Like,
and I mean, were you hurt? Were they, sure. They were physically beating
sure,
you?
Sure, sure, yeah. So this was one of the experiences I had.
And they left you, yeah, right? They left you in the woods.
Yeah, so the purpose of that was to get the money. It's like, in that moment, I got my spiritual awakening, probably, because...
What did that feel? Tell me about that spiritual
awakening. I left the forest completely different person. I left my pride, my arrogance. I had my success. I left completely under the tree. And that, you know, sometimes I say, if you would go there back, they would probably, you will find still these feelings and emotions
so,
there.
So they've literally beaten your pride, your arrogance, yeah. All of those traits
they humble
that you
me.
Had.
They humble me you. A lot. So after that experience, I've taken them to court and I've taken all the 6 people and they hired 5 best lawyers in the country. And that fight, the greatest fight started at that time that led 2.5 years fighting in a court and constantly using a lot of different methods and techniques and tactics for influence, manipulation, and so on, because it was very heavy. So on that path, on that, you know, constant stress, I had suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder. Every single time I was walking in the street and someone else walked behind me, I was turning back because I thought, you know...
Yeah. Yeah. Are they going to do the same
yeah.
again?
Yes, because
right?
it's a post-traumatic stress disorder. You're yeah. a little bit, you know, here and there. Then I was constantly waking up at night because I felt that someone is beating me. Before every single night, I was, before sleep, I was thinking how resentful I am about these people that I did, how much shame I feel that this happened to me, even though I was successful, how guilty I was to make these decisions. There's a lot of different, and how afraid I was what's going to happen in the future.
And I guess those are all normal emotions. You'd want to feel revengeful, angry, how dare these people do this yeah. to you. Yeah, and obviously the shame
yeah.
from being, yeah, from it happening.
Yeah, it was a lot of different things at that time. And what I decided to start my international career, even though I was suffering from all these things, I felt that this is a great time for me to start something new. And it was really interesting, even though I had that baggage I carried with me, I had enough courage to start something else, and I was invited to start a position as a sales and marketing manager in an international company in Oslo. And I was responsible for developing sales channels and distribution channels and doing a marketing and sales turnaround in a technology company. So I went to a new place completely, new environment, new friends, new country. You know, you know nothing. You started
new life,
over again.
Right?
New life,
right?
New life, yeah.
New life.
The number one lesson was surround yourself with people that you would like to be with and that would elevate you instead of drag you down. And because of that, I surrounded myself with entrepreneurs, people interested in personal development. I started reading books in personal development because I was looking for the answers how I can heal myself. Because I was really
so
suffering from that.
So at this stage, Neo, did you speak to anybody, like a counselor or a therapist or anyone that could help you? Or were you just...
I tried to speak with 2 psychotherapists, but they avoided it. They didn't know how to deal. It was just too big.
So you ended up trying to sort of heal yourself?
Yeah. That was, I think for any individual, the answer is hidden internally. Nobody else from the outside can help heal them unless they ask a specific, precise series of questions to balance out their perceptions, what happened later. In my story as well.
And I guess that's why people call on coaches, very good coaches, to just facilitate that and
yep.
lift that out of it.
Extract what's
yes.
truth instead of what's lying.
Yes.
So what happened then? One of my close friends that I'm very, very grateful for start tagging me in a post written by Dr. John DeMartini that you know.
I know John.
And
John DeMartini, yes.
Yeah, in the beginning was like, who is this guy? But one evening, I was sitting in front of my computer and somehow John's video appeared that most people live in one-sided fantasy and illusion and trying to avoid what's unavoidable, and that's a source of human suffering. And it talked to my heart specifically. Mm. And I thought, oh my God, this guy knows something, you know? And
you were ready to hear it at that
yeah,
moment.
I was ready to hear. And, you know, interestingly enough that I said, this guy knows something. I tried to book him for a single consultation. At that time, it was a little bit too expensive for me when I was working still in a career mode. And one evening I was in a gym, I was listening to his book, Values Factor, and he said, one of my facilitators in Mexico. I was like, what? Facilitators in Mexico? I rewinded it. One of my facilitators in Mexico, I said, he has facilitators. That's a good chance for me to be next to him and help him and learn from him. And I stopped doing the exercise workout. I went back home. I opened DiMartino website and I see facilitators training. I said, this is what I'm going to be doing now. And I had certainty that I'm going to be there. And the Breakthrough Experience seminar was a prerequisite to do a facilitator's training. So I said, okay, I'm going to go there. I don't know what's going to happen.
And just so everyone knows, that the Breakthrough Experience is one of John DeMartini's basically flagship
signature
2-day process. Yeah. I've been through it, transformed my life, and clearly transformed
yours. I've
been
now 16 times there.
16 times you've done the Breakthrough.
As facilitator and as attendee together, so I flew the world together with John. But I went to the Breakthrough first time without knowing what's going to happen. I didn't know that people come to transform their and transcend their thinking. And you know what's funny thing? I arrived 2017, 13th of May, in the Breakthrough Experience. And after 6 hours of John introducing a complex theory of life and physics and so on, he said, now pick the person that you most resent.
Presumably you had 6 people that you most resented,
and
right?
I was like, and the most resented, I had the one that actually was the closest friend of my friend, okay, who organized all that
stuff.
Okay,
the one that set.
The other
set
one
set
was like, I mean, they were just...
Followers, right? Yeah. They were following, yeah.
So I said, I have one. And then, you know, the Breakthrough Experience, like what it takes from 3 o'clock in the afternoon until midnight.
Yeah.
Using the method, I completely neutralized all my negative perceptions until a state of unconditional love for what he did. And I was so grateful that this thing happened, because now I see the truth where it actually led me.
Yeah.
And that actually was what I wanted since my childhood, to be international, global, present, entrepreneur and influencer and do what I love. And he helped me.
So can I just get this right, Neo? You believe that if this incident hadn't happened, you wouldn't be the success that you are sitting here
definitely
today.
Not. This is what the greatest thing that happened in my life.
That's amazing to firstly admit that.
Yeah.
After this terrible experience that most people would say, why aren't you sitting there going, I feel a lot of revenge for these people and what happened to me was terrible. But you're actually sitting there and saying that what happened to you changed your life for the better.
Yes, and you know, this is the thing. Instead of being a victim, what happened, take out the lesson, extract emotion and take lesson out and move on. When I came to CORE in 2017, 14th of November, I presented a beautiful, balanced story. I said, sometimes they protected me, sometimes they attacked me. I know everyone makes mistakes. They've made a mistake, but I'm grateful because now I have an international career because of that. And the judge was sitting and it was like, he didn't believe what I'm saying. 6 people sat behind my back. They didn't believe what I say. 5 lawyers were asking polite questions and asked what specifically happened, And that was interesting. And we had such a beautiful energy. It was just mediated in the room.
Wow.
Nobody believed. 2 weeks later, they brought me the money back, double, and covered all the expenses and shook my hand for what I did.
That's amazing. And how have you taken that experience or those lessons on to the life that you now lead, which is helping other entrepreneurs and corporations? How do you help individuals and corporations from that experience?
So interestingly enough, that later, a month later from that court case, I just finished one thing and a new thing started. And the new thing was my new career. I was still working as a sales manager, international company, but I started attracting business owners, somehow energetically attracting business owners, because I had business acumen, I had management acumen, I had sales and marketing understanding, and I had a drive to do this. And also I combined that traumatic experience together with something greater. So in the beginning, I started attracting business owners that had emotional traumas from before, and they were led to me. Let's say unsuccessful marriages that occupy their mind and they were not present at business. This is opportunity cost cuts a lot for people that go through divorce and so on in the business.
Absolutely. So you were basically talking to individuals. They were coming to you with their business problems, but you were going down and really releasing traumas that they had.
Yeah. Let's say the first thing happened that I'm unable to delegate. I said, all right, what are you afraid of delegating? I'm afraid that the business will collapse if I delegate. So I don't have trust enough to delegate. I said, okay, go to the moment where and when did you have the same experience that you associate your fear, because your fear is blocking you. And we found out that this guy had a bankruptcy before and he needed to fire about 40 people. And he had a shame and guilt from the past and resentment on himself, completely locked in him and working now as an emotional block for him not being able to delegate because he didn't trust. Because he was associating delegation with letting out the control, and that's going to lead to collapse of the business.
So by releasing the emotional block, the entrepreneurs are going on to do successful things.
Yeah, definitely. So this is one of the things. So the fear is an assumption that something will happen in the future that will give you more negatives than positives. That's going to create pain again. That's illusion. You don't know what's going to happen. And that's usually based on the past. As I said, if you don't know how hot was the stove when you touch it, you're probably going to want to touch it and feel what's hot, right?
It is, yeah.
So you don't have any
association.
But it's
like a child going to a kettle, and it's not until the mother or father says, you know, get away from the kettle because it's going to be hot. But the child doesn't know that.
Yeah, I remember when I tasted a soap.
Soap. Okay.
Because it smelled so good. I mean, I said, Mom, like the chewing gum, everything is around that smells good, tastes good. How soap could not taste good? I said, I'm saying you, soap doesn't taste good. And I was so,
convinced that it was good?
Yeah, I was like convinced internally, and I was trying to pursue my mom to give me to taste the soap. And she said, okay, try it. And I will never forget that taste. Yeah. You know, I was like, wow, that was complete illusion, right? Mm. So the same with fears. The fear is an assumption, and it's based on a previous experiences. And you go in the past, and in the past, you have a negative experience happen to you where you perceive more negatives than positive happen to you in that time. And what I learned in the process of my dissolving my own trauma is that, you know, your imbalanced perceptions are also lies from the past because something greater also happened from that. What did you learn through bankruptcy? Mm. What was the key lesson? What did you upgrade yourself? Did you get to manage your finances? Did you start budgeting to see what's the overall performance of the company and so on? And we found that this was actually a blessing, not a pain. And that fear just gone, and he started delegating. Wow. And he's really growing now today.
And I guess so many people cover over what the benefits are at the time because all they do is remember the fear and the pain that was caused, the negatives.
The negative. So by having that magnitude of my own personal experience and the stress where I was introduced to a diversity of different problems. And the problems that I solve, probably 8 out of 10 are worth to write a book about what actually happens to people in their life. But they're just trying to heal themselves, and sometimes they stuck these emotional blocks unconsciously, which become an avoidance or seeking mechanisms and not allowing them to live present. Which I believe for anyone in business, it's important to be present and objective. So in that context, I would like to speak a little bit about the 7 greatest traumas that I would like to present.
What are the 7 greatest traumas?
7 greatest traumas are based on 7 areas of life. Mm. The spiritual trauma, the intellectual trauma, the business trauma, the financial trauma, the social trauma, the family trauma, and the physical trauma. So, and as example, I meet a lot of people that say, oh my God, these old people around me, all influencers and business owners, they have a life purpose, and I don't. Mm. So people get traumatized because they cannot discover what they actually want to do, your mission.
And I was in that, actually, a few years ago, up until I did the DeMartini method, up until I did the breakthrough experience. I was searching. I was like, what am I here for? What am I here for? And I could see all these people around me. I was very much into the personal growth that had discovered their life purpose, and I was constantly seeking it. Now I believe I found it, and that was through the breakthrough.
And what's mostly holding back people to discovering their true purpose in life and neutralizing the spiritual trauma is the external opinions and voices of the authorities that are constantly talking in their mind and blocking their purpose.
Yeah.
What do you need to be? What do you should be? What the world is actually doing?
Or your parents from your past, you know, they're telling you, like your parents were telling you to be a dentist. It was that, it's black. Okay, so that's
spiritual trauma.
And the 7, so that's 6.
Then there's a mental trauma. Mental trauma sometimes is created unintentionally, either by a school or university. I met so many people that said, oh my God, I'm going to finish the school or university and I'm never going to learn again. I'm never going to educate myself because I'm fucking tired of that thing.
Yeah.
And I believe this is the worst thing that can happen to any individual because it's traumatized from a traditional study system. It's so boring. It's unengaged that they associate more negatives than positives from a traditional...
I hated my school days. Yeah, and I know. A lot of people do. Some people love them. But I associate... I remember associating learning and school days with... I really didn't
But would you believe that someone could be successful without learning constantly? It's impossible. You constantly learn. You learn from your experiences.
Now I love learning. I learn all the time. I love it.
You learn from your business experiences, whatever. Michelangelo, being 84 years old, he said, I'm still learning. It's impossible to know.
If you're not growing, you're dead, right?
Yeah. So this is another trauma that actually is created about in that, you know, in the context. And it's unintentional. I know that the systems that are created, they want the goodwill, they want to do the best, but it's not always happening the best because they ignore the authentic individuals and who they are.
Okay, so that's, we've done two. And the third?
The third is the business trauma or professional trauma, which is either a loss of business, bankruptcy, or a loss of career being fired. This is also traumatic because it limits you, you know? But it's interesting because I work in the United States and in Europe. So, for example, in Europe, the bankruptcy is perceived as something negative. Like, let's say shame, guilt, resentment, and so on is a lot of loss and so on. And people associate that with something negative. In the United States, I help, you know, let's say business owners to recover after traumatic bankruptcy experiences. They said, what traumatic experiences? It's normal to bankrupt, you know, in the United States because it's a part of evolution, it's a part of learning, and it's accepted normally as a normal thing. It's a learning path. So these two perception differences is just explaining a lot that, you know, in some parts of the world, culture says it's okay to learn through failures, and some others as judgment.
Cultural,
and the external judgment creates the traumatic experiences as well.
So,
the fourth, the financial trauma, losing money or getting into big debt. That's also one of the traumatic experiences that, you know, sometimes people associate. And if they've got, you know, if they lost money, let's say I've got a couple of my clients, investors. And let's say they're putting $150,000 into an investment and they lose it. And what are they going to associate? If they perceive that they lost it, they're going to associate more negatives than positives, more pain than pleasure in that experience. And in the future, they might tend to avoid investing in the same.
So how do you neutralize that?
We go and we find out what they've got. Because based on the law of transformation, you can never gain or lose anything. It only changes the form. So if you invested $150,000 into something and you invested the energy, we always look what they've got.
It'll come back around.
Yeah, it comes back in many different ways. What other strategic alliances did you create out of that? What people you've been introduced to? What did you learn intellectually? What maybe you discovered your purpose through that loss because you realize that, you know, investing in properties is not for you because everyone else is doing now. There's maybe you found your girlfriend or wife or whatever it is, you know. So you always find and you neutralize and you go back into that moment and you say, so the 150,000, what form do you have it now?
Yes. And we look and for it might not be in the same form.
No, because they expect they're attached to the form. And one of the probably biggest things that anyone can, you know, create in life, just stop being attached to form and see where it is now, because you all have it completely, entirely, 24 hours, 7 days a week. So number five trauma is social rejection. So most people in life, they are afraid to be socially rejected and what other people will think about them if they're going to be socially rejected. This all pickup business, especially in Scandinavia where I work, people are so afraid to be rejected by a woman when they go and approach, in, let's say, a club. So the pickup business is built in Scandinavia.
Oh, picking a guy or woman up in a bar. Wow.
Yeah, and not in a bar. I mean, in the street and so on.
Anywhere,
But the rejection is so huge. And as John said, that's one of the biggest fears, actually, to be socially rejected. So imagine if you approach someone and you've been rejected, and people saw that, and you associate that as a painful experience, you're going to be afraid to get and approach someone else.
I think most of us fear, you know, rejection is a big pain point, especially in relationships. You know, rejection is why I think a lot of people hold on to relationships that maybe not going the right way, because they don't want the rejection.
So rejected people sometimes have these traumatic experiences and having it as a avoidance mechanism. Mm-hmm. However, I have a very inspiring case study with one of my clients who was really constantly being silenced in school and nobody was listening to them. And he had that traumatic experience and that created a void and empty space in his life. And he promised himself to do whatever he can to go and talk and be heard in many different ways. So his career development was amazing. He became a radio TV host. He became a TV personality. He became one of the greatest influencers in the region. He has amazing following. And now he's doing music production, and he's doing that globally. And we are now making him as a next David Guetta in all the world because he can he can basically talk to all and be heard, his high value based on that trauma that he had. He now became his purpose of life, and he's using it as his motivation mechanism to be heard completely, entirely in all the world. He now has 82 million views on YouTube already on his songs.
Would you like to say his name?
Yeah, it's DJ Giovanni. I'm very inspired about him.
DJ Giovanni.
Giovanni, yeah. Great. He's really good. And
I look forward to listening to him.
Yeah, so I'm helping him. And that was like, we created a vision for him to be in 100 countries in the next 10 years and 50 gigs a year with 10 billion views on YouTube in total, and that's what actually manifests to him now. It's fantastic. Chicago, Dubai, Singapore soon, Toronto, Dublin, London. He's playing at Studio 335, I think there is a club here. He's a resident. So, I mean, it's just entirely beautiful to see sometimes how traumatic experiences can lead you to achieve magnificent things if you don't give up to a victim mentality and telling yourself that, oh my God, this negative thing happened to me and I'm going to be this loser
because
in the
of
context.
That one thing yeah. around. So number six.
Number six is family. Mm-hmm. So family traumatic experiences, yeah. which is a loss of your loved ones, mm-hmm. either through divorce or death, or not getting a very inspiring, you know, relationship or couple, what you actually would like to achieve. So some people in this context also, one of the case studies I had, one of the business owners that he 11 years ago, he had a divorce, but that divorce was not, so he, okay, I had a very inspiring case study with one of my clients from Scandinavia, and he had a challenge to find a loved one, a relationship, because even though he met a lot of different women, he was not able to find someone that could actually become his wife. And when I asked him, so tell me what specifically happened in your last and previous relationship. He mentioned to me that it was a very nice and inspiring relationship, and his woman left him completely and traumatized him because left him. And he was sitting for about 6 months, completely disengaged for whatever he wants to do and so on. Mm-hmm. And he really loved that relationship. Yeah. But he had a traumatic experience. So that traumatic experience became for him something that is limiting him now, because he still associates relationships
yeah,
with women.
That pain.
With pain, one of the first of all. And the second thing, when I ask him, so list me all the positive and negative behavioral traits, actions or inactions that you still remember from your past relationship. So he listed about 24 positive and only 3 negative.
Yeah.
So in his perception, which was unconscious already, mm-hmm. he was not aware of that because it's 11 years ago,
yeah, of course,
but he's still stuck
yeah.
there. He associated that previous experience 8 times more positive than negative, and he stuck his positive memories, and it became a search mechanism for him. And he was looking for the same exact girl and the same exact experiences in all the women, and he never found. So he was dismissing
all other.
Yeah,
of course.
Which
he
means,
utilized it.
Yeah, and maybe he dismissed even greater opportunities that he was not able to get into because he was looking for that one thing that was stuck. Mm. And also, as you said, the negative experience, because of the traumatic, it was a combination of two.
Yeah.
So what we did, we neutralized that, what was the benefit of, we found out the blessing that he was left, and he started a business and he started traveling and da da da. And then we neutralized that persona, the search mechanism, completely into zero. And 3 weeks later, he got a first date, and he's now in a relationship really
wow.
beautifully.
Wow, that's fantastic. And the final one, number
the
seven.
Physical, the physical trauma.
The physical trauma.
The physical trauma is what happened to me, you know, being beaten physically and so on. Most people are afraid of that. But as I said, pain grows. You grow through pain the most. And as Aristotle mentioned, that a personal growth occurs on a border of support and challenge.
Mm.
So when you get support, when you get pain, you know that your muscles grow through pain. You've been in
yeah.
fitness a lot.
Yeah, well, I work out, so you know, the more that you go to the gym and you lift weights, that's breaking the muscle.
Mm-hmm.
You go again, and
yeah.
you're breaking the muscle again, and it grows. That's the only
yeah.
way it can grow.
So your resilience and resistance grows as well when you feel physical pain.
But are you saying that everyone does go through physical pain, or because some people, I'm like, can't really think of a time when I went through physical pain.
In a gym.
in the gym. I mean, when I was a child, I went through physical pain, being beaten in the play yard.
Yeah.
But I just stood up for myself at that point, and that changed who I was.
Yeah, so these can also traumatize some people as well, because they start, you know, sometimes they can download that, and you know, that traumatic experiences to their own children, they beat their own children, and so on. So it's just basically becoming a pattern for that. So the physical pain, as I say, if you get physical pain now, it's going to be anyway reward in the future, either through your muscles, that's going to look beautiful on your body, or through resilience.
Yeah, and less I consider fear, myself resilient, yeah.
Less fear. So I was fighting. When I was a kid, I was constantly fighting. And today, I mean, to go and open the doors of a CEO or business owner, I don't have fear, because you went through physical pain, and you know that physical pain just toughens up you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, just traumatic experiences
make you more resilient if you look at them in the right way. Neo, we're coming towards the end of our show, and I do want to get to find out where are you going next? What is your vision for your future and your legacy that you want to leave behind? Okay.
So the legacy I want to leave behind is basically to integrate this work that I've done into businesses. And we step into businesses and we strategize, first of all, what performance obstacles and blocks in people and in processes in the company doesn't allow companies to grow profit with the current resources they have. And what we do usually, we go and we see the number one resource that is unused in all corporations in the world is the human potential. And this is what I'm trying to bring. Increase of the profit through evolution of human consciousness in companies. We usually start doing that with a business owner. We integrate then in top management. We create internal teams around these knowledge and specific topics. And internal teams start promoting and aligning and attaching them to the company and currently to the vision. So my vision is to become a number one specialist in the next 5 years in Europe. And in the next 10 years, number one specialist in the world specifically on this topic.
Someone sounds amazing. And my final question here, if you were to write a message in a bottle for future generations to find, what would that message be?
Do what you love.
Neo, thank you so much for being a guest on my show.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, there's a new interview out every Monday. So hit subscribe and like, and you'll get it straight into your inbox.